We've been saying that prayer is a weapon, and also the Word of God is the assurance of His promises to us, or His promise to us, and also the wisdom for us to do what we're supposed to do in the life. We need God's wisdom. But reflection is extremely important because we fill our hearts and our minds with God's Word, and we allow God to speak to us. And I pray that God will speak to all of us today. Today is something that is very special. I believe that God will speak to many of us. John chapter 6 focuses primarily on Jesus, the bread of life. From the very inception of the church, central to its worship is the breaking of bread or the Holy Communion. The overture to the chapter is the feeding of the multitude. The reenactment of Israel's wilderness experience, if you will. Jesus said, "It was not Moses who gave you bread from heaven. It was my Father in heaven who gave your fathers bread." The manna in the wilderness prefigures or points to the true bread that will come one day from heaven, who is Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "Unless you eat of my body and drink of my blood, you don't have life in you." It's really not bread from the bakery that gives life. It is Christ who gives life. Now the question comes, why is there even a need for Jesus to give his life, that the world may have life? "The bread which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh," Jesus says. So I was asking myself, if the world really has life, then why did Jesus have to come to give his life for us? That means, even though we live in death. And Jesus continues by saying, "And unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." No wonder why the early church struggled with a question from those who did not believe that Christians were cannibals. And Jesus goes on to say, he who eats of my flesh and drinks of my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. I'm sure that these very words did send shockwaves and red flag to the Jews. As a matter of fact, they murmured upon these words. And it remains to be very difficult to understand unless God helps us and the Spirit of God helps us and speaks to us, to our hearts, even now. The Jews of Jesus' time already had difficulty with the idea that God could be joined to his creation in human flesh, hence the incarnation. They already had a problem with that idea, much less for Jesus to say, "I am the bread of life, and if you eat me, you will have life." Of course, Christianity believes that God took on human flesh, and that's what we call the incarnation. That is not a problem for us. However, some of our Christian brothers and sisters may struggle with the idea of the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. How does that happen? How can God be in the bread? How does that happen? Well, when people travel and board a plane, they don't go to the cockpit and ask the pilot, "How can you fly this plane in defiance of the law of gravity?" In the same token, many people don't understand the intricacies and the complexity on how we eat food, and it nourishes our physical bodies. It goes to the cells of our bodies. And yet, no one says, "I will stop eating since I don't understand how it works." There are many things in life we don't understand, and yet we do it. Why? Because it's a necessity. So the best approach is when it comes to God and His providence. It is our work, as Jesus said, to believe and not necessarily to understand. I guess in this world, we will not understand everything. But if we believe in God, when we get to the other side, then perhaps we will understand. We will see things from a different standpoint. And this is not blind faith, my brothers and sisters. Mark chapter 14, reading from verse 22 to 25, Jesus said, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, 'This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many.' And he continued, 'Assuredly I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God.'" This is our work, my brothers and sisters, until he comes. Isn't that what St. Paul said? That we will proclaim Christ, the life of the world, in the Eucharist until he comes back. The Eucharist is called Mysterium Tremendum, or Tremendous Mystery. The Eucharist literally means thanksgiving. We take what God has given us and give it to him, and he takes it and feeds us with it, with his very life. In communion, believers receive the most intimate union between Christ and the church. The Eucharist unites us in the most intimate fashion with the Lord. It nourishes our soul, body, and aids our strengthening, increase, and growth in the very life God has given us, the divine life. In communion, this is what from something that one of the church fathers said, in communion, we receive the medicine of immortality. Wow. Again, let me repeat it. It's worth repeating. In communion, we receive the medicine of immortality. We were born from Adam, where we have partaken mortality. No wonder why all humans die. But God gave his Son, and his Son is the bread of life. And Jesus, as we receive him in the Eucharist, is the very medicine of immortality. You know, as you know, today, everyone is waiting for the vaccine. They think it's a silver bullet. Yes, it helps. If people are waiting for the vaccine, we have the medicine against mortality, against death, which feeds on us. We feed on Christ on our journey to heaven. What did Jesus say? "He who eats this bread will live forever." Either his words are true or his words are not true. The physical body will die one day. But guess what the good news is? You and I will live forever. Our bodies may die one day because it wears out, it becomes old, but you and I will live forever. I remember the woman who had had an issue of blood for 12 years. And she kept on saying to herself, "If only I can touch the hem of Jesus' garment, I will be healed." Let me draw something that I believe is so powerful. We say, if we can only touch and receive Christ in the Holy Eucharist, we are healed and we will receive eternal life. Imagine. So each time you go and receive the Eucharist, my brothers and sisters, imagine and think of that woman. If I can only touch the hem of his garment, we touch Christ in the Eucharist. We receive Christ in the Eucharist. We don't simply receive bread and wine. We receive him, the very life that God has given the world. The live stream is great, but one thing it lacks, it cannot offer you the Eucharist. That means you have to go to church to touch Christ. That means you have to go to church to receive Christ. It is for that reason that we need to pray for churches to be open soon, again, for us to be able to gather around the table of the Lord, because I want to touch my Lord, that I may receive healing, that I may receive the medicine of immortality. Because the bread that I buy from the bakery eventually and actually doesn't give life, but the bread that the church offers to us is Christ Himself that will bring eternal life. One day, we will all lay our bodies to the ground. From dust we came, and to dust we will return. But the assurance that we have, that we are reminded today, is that you and I will live forever. Why? We receive the very life of Christ.